Well, as we experience the challenges and difficulties of living and ministering in Thailand, I was struck with the thought that following Jesus Christ is not for the timid. It is not for the faint of heart. It is not for the weak-kneed. The workers in Thailand are being challenged and pushed and stretched in ways that they probably never anticipated. They're doing well, but sometimes it's tough. True disciples of Christ will follow Him into difficult situations, which will require nerves of steel, unwavering confidence, and dogged determination. Timidness really has no place in the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Gentleness, yes. Meekness, yes. Humility, of course. Kindness, yes. But timidness, no. It felt challenging to go to Thailand, but it made it easier just knowing that I was coming home in 11 days. Think about it. You know, I can put up with a few things for a while, like food that isn't quite like I'm used to eating. Transportation, like it's difficult to get around. And a language barrier, and feeling like you really are on the other side of the world. But it was pretty easy because I knew I was coming home. I imagine it felt different for those workers flying over because they knew they weren't just coming home in 11 days. Like some of them were going to be there a year or 2 years or 3 years or even longer. I don't think they know exactly how long God is going to call them to be there. It's a leap of faith, and I was reminded that being a disciple of Christ really is not for the timid. Following God into the unknown. We talked about Trish Schmaus, who is returning to the States, and she essentially has no money, no car, nothing to speak of, because she gave a year of her life to working in Thailand. What is she going to do when she gets back? Well, all of those details haven't been worked out yet. She's not sure. She wants to go to OSU. But there's a lot of questions surrounding how that's going to happen and how God is going to take care of her. Following Christ is not for the timid. Following Christ cannot be wrapped up in some neat little package that fits into the master plan that we have for our lives. It doesn't fit there. Following Christ blows our master plan out of the water time after time after time. And many of you have experienced that. You think you know where God wants you to serve and where He's placed you. And you settle in and you get comfortable and then He changes things on you. And you wonder, am I ready to take this step? Or can I just stay here? Being in Thailand opened my eyes to a world filled with tremendous need. A need for the love of Christ to be expressed. I've already seen the need in my own community, at my job, or in my church. But these are only one small part of this vast world that so desperately needs to know about Jesus. I enjoyed briefly getting to know one of the hotel employees where we stayed. He was quite friendly, and each day we talked. I got to know him a little bit better. He had limited English. Of course, I couldn't speak any Thai. And I wondered each time if he knew about Jesus. My guess was that he didn't. In my short time there, and as we left, I was kind of disappointed because I didn't get a chance to really share about Jesus. I didn't really have the opportunity. I didn't have the language skills. And I wondered, who is going to be that person that shares with this man about Jesus? A couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity to talk about God with one of my neighbors. I knew they were interested. I had the opportunity to talk with them, but I kept putting it off. I was talking with them one day about stuff, and, you know, we talk with everybody about just normal stuff. And I felt God prompting me, you've been putting this off. It's time to turn the conversation towards spiritual things. And I kept resisting. I was scared. You've probably all felt that way in relationships where you're not sure if you have the guts to open your mouth and talk about who God is and what Christ means to you. But I took the plunge, and we had a very good and productive conversation. A seed was planted that day, and an open door was left for more dialogue. It was exciting to be a part of that. And I had to think, what if I hadn't done that? What if I had just ignored that prodding? There have been many times where I've been afraid and very timid about what God has asked me to do. If you just look at my history, you can see step after step, I look back and think, wow, why didn't you take those opportunities? What were you afraid of? And while this is a place we may often find ourselves, it is really not a place for us to stay. Jesus calls us to step out of the boat. Beyond our fears and beyond our timidness, in order to truly follow Him, to truly come to Him. And this is the challenge I believe God has for you and I today. And the simple question I have is, will you take that challenge? I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what questions you have or where God is asking you to step out of the boat. But I want you to think about, will you take that challenge? I have a small text. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. So if you have a Bible, could you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Paul is speaking to Timothy and he says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to a young man who he was mentoring, Timothy. And I believe these two verses strike at the very heart of this letter, and they set the stage for the rest of what Paul has to say to Timothy and what he has to say to each of us. We don't really know what prompted this letter. We don't know exactly how Timothy was feeling, but we get an idea from what Paul is saying. We get an idea that Timothy was probably facing some opposition. In fact, he was probably quite discouraged in his leadership in the church and what God was asking him to do. We get that sense, although we don't have the words of Timothy to know. It's possible that Timothy even felt like quitting. If you read the entire letter, you gain a new understanding of the opposition, the type of opposition, the challenges that he was facing. It's likely that he felt very much alone as he is separated from Paul and may never see him again. It made me think of being on the other side of the world and the aloneness of being in ministry where there are not a large group of believers around you to support you. It can be a significant impediment to our work, a significant thing to work through. And I think Timothy was feeling this, and you even get a sense that Paul was feeling this. They talk about tears being shed, the separation. Paul himself felt the pain of people deserting him in his time of need. You read that in these verses in chapter 1. And it's in this context that Paul writes this letter. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." And maybe you've been one like Timothy who has stepped out in faith only to experience opposition, to experience fatigue and loneliness. And you wonder, can I make it through this? You wonder, God, why did you ask me to take this road? Maybe you've considered sliding back into a comfortable position like many other Christians have settled into. One with no uncomfortable, uneasy, unexpected turns in the road. And I believe that much of the church sits in that position today. They sit on the sofa, virtual Christian couch potatoes. And there are various reasons for this, but one is because they are timid. They are afraid. And I can relate to that. I've been one of those people. Why? It's not that everybody needs to go to Thailand, because God hasn't called everyone to Thailand. And going to Thailand doesn't solve the issue. One still needs to share about their faith, even in Thailand. Just being there doesn't mean that you take the next step. Some of us have put ourselves in environments thinking that that's the problem, but the environment isn't the issue. The issue is, are we going to step out of our timidity and share our faith wherever God leads us? God will call some of you to another country, to another state, to another neighborhood. And the question is, will you go or will you remain timid or fearful? God is calling all of you to share your faith. Will you take the opportunities? This week, our family watched the movie called Glory Road. I don't know if many of you have seen that, but it's a story of Coach Haskins, who became the first basketball coach to start an all-black lineup in college, Division I college basketball. It happened in 1966, back the year I was born. But what began as a simple desire to win by playing the best players really evolved into an epic statement against racism. The coach and the players found themselves caught up in a battle that they hadn't anticipated. All they knew is they wanted to play basketball. They wanted to win. And suddenly they were immersed in this battle of racism and what was happening in college basketball at that time. The coach and his team were regularly, routinely criticized and ridiculed and opposed for playing so many black players. And the movie shows the coach and his players at different times questioning whether it was really worth it, whether they really knew what they had gotten into and whether continuing on was worth the risk. They were a statement to the world against racism, a statement for the equality of all players, regardless of the color of their skin. And as a result, they became the enemy for some, the target of opposition, because they represented a change to the old way of thinking. And when the Texas Miners started five black players in the championship game against an all-white Kentucky team, they won. And they sent shockwaves through college basketball. The game proved to be a significant turning point in history, where colleges across the nation began to recruit black players to play for their teams. Now, those of you who are stepping out in faith need to realize that part of the reason you face opposition and difficulty is because you are involved in a much greater work than you may realize. It's a very important work. You are on the front lines. And Satan, the enemy, is not pleased with that. He will come after you. He's not concerned with armchair Christians. They're not a threat to him. But he is with those of you who are out there, those of you that have stepped out of the boat. He will come against you. As unintimidated Christians realize and step out in faith, they become the ones who can turn the tide. They are the ones that God can use to do anything that He desires. And I mean that. They are the ones that God can use to do anything that God wants. But Satan loves to intimidate us. He loves to shove us into a corner and keep us there. Well, what is the answer that Paul has for us in these couple of verses? He says, "Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Paul paints a picture of a smoldering fire. And you've seen those before, and maybe those some of you have tried to start a fire. I've tried to start various fires, and you get a bunch of paper together, and you get it going. It blazes up really nice, and you think, wow, that's good. I got a great fire. And you turn around and come back later, and it's just died down to hardly anything. It's smoldering. And what do? Well, you get down on your hands and knees, and you blow on that fire. You see the spark left there? And you start blowing on that. You start fanning it. Until you get a flame that bursts out of that coal that's still there. And if you have my fire building skills, you need to do that several times because it keeps going out. But all of you have seen that and you've experienced that in some way. And this is the picture that Paul paints for Timothy and for us. He says, don't let the fire die. Nurse it. Fan the flame. Feed it with some small twigs. Whatever will make that thing burn. Don't let it go out. God lit the fire within you. Don't let it go out. Don't neglect it. He filled you with His Holy Spirit. Don't ignore the nudges of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of its leading. He's given you gifts to be used in the kingdom of God. Don't let them go unused and unexercised. Don't be afraid of failure. Use those gifts. Tune them in. Exercise them. Nourish them. Develop them. Give yourself every opportunity to fan into flame the gift that God has given to you. But don't for a second kid yourself that it will be easy. God will lead you into the most challenging places that you have ever been in life. It will happen if you're willing to step out of the boat. He will lead you into very challenging places. Be ready for the ride of your life. Some of you could share with us about some of those rides that you have had. It'll be scary and unpredictable. It's not called a walk of faith for nothing. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Memorize that verse. True followers of Christ may have fear, but they are not afraid. They may have moments of doubt, but they are not timid. They are gentle. They are humble. They are meek. And they're kind. But don't confuse that with timidity, with fear. Disciples of Christ are bold. I love the prayer of the believers in Acts chapter 4 when they faced opposition and direct persecution. And what did they ask for? What did they ask for? Did they ask to be delivered from their persecution and opposition? No, they asked for boldness. Isn't that awesome? They asked for boldness. Why are followers of Christ bold? Because God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. We are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We have nothing to fear, nothing to be afraid of. We are filled with God's supernatural love. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. God's perfect love for us should cast out our fear. We are given a spirit of self-control or of a sound mind, as the King James says. We are given the ability to exert control over ourselves, even in the most stressful situations. That doesn't mean that we aren't afraid at times. But it means that we are given a gift of self-control, of course, that comes from the work of the Holy Spirit in us. For some of you, it's possible that what I've been talking about has made you feel uncomfortable. And I hope that's the case. I don't believe God wants you in a place of comfort, but I think He wants you in a place of obedience and of faithfulness. I hope that God has stirred a desire in your heart to step out of the boat and get out there. There's no other place worth being. For others of you, you're already out there. And I hope God has encouraged your heart that you are right where He wants you to be. Stick with it. Don't give up. Others are joining in and coming alongside of you. People are praying for you. One of the requests that Tom and Candace gave when we were there, they said, we asked them, what can we pray for? And one of the things they said is that God would send more workers to Thailand. Seems small right now, their group. And they asked that we would pray that God would send more people into the fields of Thailand. And that is my prayer for my own community, for London, for Plain City, Rosedale, or West Jeff, or Columbus, that unintimidated workers would go into the harvest. Who knows where God might ask us to go? Who knows what God might do? But we pray for more workers to bring in the harvest, for the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this encouragement in 2 Timothy. We thank you for the strength that you give to us, for the help that you offer us. We thank you that the ability to do these things is not dependent upon us. It's only dependent upon our willingness to step out and be used by you, however you ask to do that. And Lord, as we look at the world, we see tremendous need all around us, and it can seem overwhelming. And we ask the question, who will be the one to meet those needs? Who will God send? And Lord, I pray this morning, as we look at that question, I pray that we would make it personal. I pray that as we face those decisions, those places where you bring us to minister, and maybe this morning you're bringing new places into some of our minds of where you might want us to be. Father, may we be faithful to answer the call. May we not be timid, but may we step out in faith, believing that you are going to do a work in and through us, and that we can depend on you. We thank you for meeting with us this morning. We thank you for the encouragement of this letter from Paul to Timothy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.